"What happened yesterday?" David asked, pushing away the memory. But Bree ignored him, talking to Nora.
"I'm sorry, sis," she said. "Things were a little crazy yesterday. I was out of line."
"I'm sorry, too," Nora said. "I'm glad you came to the party."
"What happened yesterday? Were you at the fire, Bree?" David asked again.
He and Nora had woken in the night to sirens, to the acrid smell of smoke and a strange glow in the sky. They had come outside to stand with their neighbors on the dark, quiet lawns, their ankles growing wet with dew, while on campus the ROTC building burned. For days, the protests had been growing, layers of tension in the air, invisible but real, while in towns along the Mekong River, bombs fell and people ran, cradling their dying children in their arms. Across the river in Ohio now, 4 students lay dead. But no one had imagined this in Lexington, Kentucky. A Molotov cocktail and a building in flames, police pouring into the streets. Bree turned to him, her long hair swinging over her shoulders, and shook her head.
"No, I wasn't there, but Mark was."
She smiled at the young man beside her and slipped her slender arm through his.
"This is Mark Bell."
"Mark fought in Vietnam," Nora added. "He's here protesting the war."
"Ah," David said, "an agitator."
"A protester, I believe," Nora corrected, waving across the lawn.
"There's Kay Marshall," she said. "Will you excuse me?"
"A protester, then," David repeated,
watching Nora walk away, the breeze moving lightly against the sleeves of her silk suit.
"That's right," Mark said.
He spoke with self-mocking intentness and a faint, familiar accent that reminded David of his father's voice, low and melodic.
"The relentless pursuit of equity and justice." "You were on the news," David said, remembering him all at once. "Last night, you were giving some kind of speech. So, you must be glad about the fire."
Mark shrugged.
"Not glad, not sorry. It happened, that's all. We go on."
"Why are you being so hostile, David?"
Bree asked, fixing her green eyes on him.
"I'm not being hostile," David said, realizing even as he spoke that he was.
Realizing, too, that he was beginning to flatten and extend his own vowels, called by the deep pull of language, patterns of speech as familiar and compelling as water.
"I'm gathering information, that's all." "Where are you from?" he asked Mark.
"West Virginia, over near Elkins." "Why?"
"Just curious. I had family there once."
"I didn't know that about you, David," Bree said. "I thought you were from Pittsburgh."
"I had family near Elkins," David repeated, "a long time ago."
"Is that so?"
Mark was watching him less warily now.
"They work coal?"
"Sometimes in the winter. They had a farm, a hard life, but not as hard as coal."
"They keep their land?"
"Yes."
David thought of the house he had not seen for nearly 15 years.
"Smart. My daddy now, he sold the home place. When he died in the mines 5 years later, we had nowhere to go. Nowhere at all."
Mark smiled bitterly and thought for a moment.
"You ever go back there?"
"Not in a long time. You?"
"Nah. After Vietnam, I went to college. Morgantown, the GI Bill. It got to be strange going back. I belonged and I didn't belong, if you know what I mean. When I left, I didn't think I was making a choice, but it turned out I was."
David nodded.
"I know," he said. "I know what you mean."
"Well," Bree said after a long moment of silence, "you're both here now. I'm getting thirstier by the second," she added. "Mark, David, want a drink?"
"I'll come with you," Mark said, extending his hand to David. "Small world, isn't it? It's good to meet you."
"David is a mystery to us all," Bree said, pulling him away. "Just ask Nora."